Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1303. We'll be reading the last verse of the 11th chapter, verse 40, and then we'll continue reading through the first two verses of chapter 12. These three verses only, verse 40 of chapter 11, and verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12. We'll read the verses in unison. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Together, please. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And let's pray. And Father, we look forward to the evening services. They're always so special. Thank you for the practical way in which the Word of God is applied to the ministry here and to our lives. Thank you for such a preacher as we have. But help us tonight to realize, at least to some extent, what we have here, to not take for granted that which transpires here on a regular basis. Help us to receive with gratitude the Word as it's preached, and to make application as is necessary in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, how and why Abel needs me. How and why Abel needs me. One of the most startling passages in all the Bible is the last verse. And without your turning to it, the last verse of Hebrews 11. Before I pray, I want you to listen very carefully as I explain it to you. In Hebrews chapter 11, you have the great hall of fame of the heroes of faith. You have such men listed there as Abraham and Isaac, Abel, Moses, and the great men of faith. You have events that imply the names of others, such as Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Daniel and others. After that great Hall of Fame chapter in Hebrews 11, I'm startled to read these words. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, get this, now here it is, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. You understand, the first person listed here is Abel. Now, the Bible says Abel, and that word perfect means complete. Abel cannot be complete without me and without you. It says that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, then in the next verse, and of course you understand that the chapter divisions are placed there by men. So for our convenience, so we'll know how to announce a certain location of a scripture. But after it talks about these great men, there's the word wherefore. Anytime you see the word wherefore in the Bible, there's something that's gone there before. And so it says, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What witnesses? Those men listed have gone on before. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm going to start off tonight a little differently from where I'd planned because of the program we had a while ago. Something moved my heart in the program as the list of our deacons who are in heaven tonight was read. Our Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing tonight. Help me to be so. In Jesus' name, amen. The names were read a while ago, and I'm not going to go through all over 30 names that were read. men, Brother Ray, who served with us on the deacon board in years, through all these years. And I looked at the list, and every one of them tonight, as they were read a while ago, I stopped and pictured them and remembered just something about them. Came down to the word named Blandford Duff, one of the best men I ever knew. He sat right here at the Lord's Supper time, and he had a big, chubby hand. And I remember that big old hand, like it wore a size 15 glove or something, reaching out for the cup and also for the bread. I remember Harley Dunsworth. God bless Harley Dunsworth. He's on the deacon board. They interviewed me before I came, and he said, "What did you think about our morning worship service this morning?" And I said, "I detested it." And the deacons were there. He said, "If you come here, what kind of service, morning service, will you have?" I said, "Sort of like a Billy Sunday revival campaign." And Harley Dunsworth hollered, "Amen." He was a crude kind of a guy, a rough kind of a guy. "I'm sorry, Harley. This is the way I saw you." But he was the best horseshoe pitcher I ever saw. He could pitch horseshoes, and I could pitch, but I couldn't touch Harley Dunsworth. But one time at a church picnic, he talked me into pitching in a game of horseshoes, and I wasn't a tenth as good as he was, but I beat him. I just lucked out. He wanted to play another game. I wouldn't do it. All the years that he was here, before he went to heaven, he begged me to play another horseshoe. I never would do it. I retired undefeated, and when he was on his deathbed, he held that against me because I looked and I see Verley Fields. Verley Fields was the only person in this church who had ever heard me preach before I came here. He heard me preach years ago at a conference, and he was not responsible for giving my name, but he certainly led in the campaign to call me because he had heard me preach elsewhere. I see George Husengay's name here. George Husengay was the man who ran a store across the street, sort of a store. What were the hours is open? Whenever he wanted to open it, whenever he wanted to close it, that's all. He sold it. I'm serious. He sold everything there from thread to fur coats. No joke. He couldn't find either one. But and I thought about Mel Graves. Mel Graves is the man who made the motion. We start Hiles Anderson College. And there was Ray Newton, the airplane pilot. Of course, you know the story about that. Ray Newton, you folks that knew don't. Ray Newton was an airplane pilot for United Airlines. And for years he flew, and for years I flew, but never flew on the same airplane. I wondered why. And sure enough, one Monday morning, I was flying down to Texas and looked up, and there was a sign, pilot Ray Newton. Well, I decided to go up and play a little joke on him, so I put my hand in my pocket like I had a gun. I walked up, opened the door to the cockpit, and I said, "This is the stick-up." I found out there were two Ray Newtons in this world. Didn't dawn on me. We were not on United Airlines. We were on American Airlines. And you talk about some tall explaining I had to do. And there was John Penley. Nobody liked John Penley. Big John. And there was Wilbur Streeter, the father of both the Dr. Streeters, and Leonard Tudor. Leonard Tudor's the guy. His name is right here on this pulpit, in memory of Leonard Tudor. And he's the guy that was on his deathbed up at St. Margaret's Hospital. And I went up to, and the nurse came and said, "Mr. Tudor, you won't make it through the night." You're going to pass away. "Should I call your priest?" And Mr. Tudor said, "I am a priest." And she said, "Oh, I didn't know you were a holy father." He said, "I'm not a holy father, but I'm a priest of God." And he said, "I can take care of praying for myself. But if you want to call my pastor and have him come and rejoice with me while I go to heaven, that's okay with me." And I went up to the hospital in the middle of the night and sat beside him as he went to heaven. I was over here. He was here, Miss Tudor, on the other side of the bed. He looked over at her and said, "You better be careful. You better behave yourself when I'm gone. Yeah, I don't want you messing around with the other man now when I'm gone." He said, "I'll be watching you. If you don't behave yourself, I'll cause it to lightning and thunder and an earthquake or something, and I'll watch you from heaven. You better be careful how you behave. Unusual man." And there was Wells Walker, whose name is on this building across the street, who's the man most responsible for this building being right here tonight, and for Baptist City being there. And now, I use that as a way of introduction because I didn't study very much for tonight. But I want to say that those men without us cannot be made perfect. The Apostle Paul lists the great heroes of the faith, spanning 4,000 years. There's Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and others. And then he ends it all with a startling statement. They without us should not be made perfect or complete. Now the next verse tells us, and that's in chapter 11, verse 40. The next verse is chapter 12 and verse 1. And that verse tells us, wherefore we're compassed about, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are those witnesses? Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and all the others listed and implied here. They are those witnesses. And the Bible says that they're watching as we run the race. It says, seeing therefore we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Not just the sins, but the weights. Not just the things that are wrong to do, but things that are right to do that are not top priorities. And lay aside every weight. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Well now, why should we run the race that is set before us? Because those folks up there watching us. I'll tell you exactly why. Because we are running a race and they're watching. Now the obvious question is, what is this race that we're running in which they show so much interest? It's not the 100-yard dash. It's not the mile run. It's not even the marathon. It is a relay race that started in the Garden of Eden and will continue until the rapture. Now, Paul, for example, the Apostle Paul, he didn't say, I finished my race. He said, I finished my course. He said, I finished my lap in the race. The race is a relay race. It has not ended and will not end until the rapture. It started with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And they handed the baton down to somebody else, and they handed it to somebody else, and they handed it to somebody else. Now, I know enough about track to know this, that in a relay race, the fellows that have already run their laps cannot win without the fellows that follow them. And that's what it means here. You take a mile relay, a fellow runs 440 yards or 400 meters, and then he hands the baton like that to somebody else. And they run 400 meters or 440 yards. And then they hand the baton to somebody else. And the third man runs 400 meters and he hands the baton to the last man and he runs 400 meters. Now when that first man runs the 400 meters, he may end up 15 yards ahead of the guy that's second place and still may not win the race. You see, he, without the last three, cannot be made perfect or cannot be made complete. The second man runs. He may outrun his man and may be 40 yards in ahead of his man when he hands the baton to man number three. But you think he's not interested? Sometimes you watch a relay race and you watch the fellows that have already run their lap in the race and you watch them as they watch those fellows and as they cheer for them. Hey, come on! Why? Because their hope of getting a gold medal rests upon the fellows that run the race after them. And they, without by the way, the fastest runner is always supposed to be the last lap. And we're on the last lap, bless God. And we ought to run faster than they did. So what happens is this. Abel down here looks down and sees me run the race and says, hey, come on, Hiles, come on. Call me Dr. Hiles. Come on, Hiles. Come on, Hiles. Come on. I run my lap. I run my course. But the race still goes on. Come on. And Moses said, hey, come on, Jack. He calls me Jack. Come on, Jack. Come on, Jack. Come on. I can't win the race unless you do. Well, you come in and win the race for me. And they cannot be made complete without me. And you folks that sit here and never win a soul and never do anything for God, you're making some folks in heaven who depend upon your course and your part of the relay mighty sad tonight because they cannot be made perfect without you. Herein lies the interest of those who watch us. So it's a pretty big thing we're doing.
It's not a light thing when you decide not to come to church on Wednesday night. It's not a light thing when the offering plate passes you and you rob God. It's not a light thing when you turn the television set on and watch something that's not worth man or beast watching. It's not a light thing when you run around here in the summertime in your brief little shorts and lay on a beach somewhere in your bikini bathing suit or go there. It's not a light thing. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, those great heroes of faith, they were sawn asunder. They were cast in the lion's den. They were placed in the fiery furnace. They were crucified upside down. They were beaten and they were slain by the sword. And they look at you and look at us, this mealy mouth, compromising, so soft soaping kind of Christianity, this television evangelist kind of Christianity, where a bunch of people look like whores and harlots, stand up there and talk about being good Christians and watch their movies and run with their movie stars and drink their martinis and suck their cigarettes and go to their nightclubs and dances. I want you to know that's not the kind of people that ran the race back yonder. And they look down at us and say, good night in the morning, what in the world's going on down there? We cannot be made perfect without you. We cannot be made complete without you. They're not just watching. They're intensely interested. Their race is still being run. I've heard preachers say it. You know, I may have said it myself. He's run his race. No, he hasn't. He's run his lap. Paul said, I have finished the course. He didn't say, I finished the race. I finished the course. They without us cannot be made perfect. I recall years ago sitting in a motel room watching a 440-yard relay race. 110 yards each man, just about 100 meters for each man. I remember the first fella took off and he was way ahead. He was representing the United States in some kind of international competition. He was way ahead. He gave the baton to the second man. He was way ahead. And he gave the baton to the third man. And he was way ahead. But when that baton was passed between the third man and the fourth man, what they do, they hold it back like this. And the fourth man reaches out and takes it like this. There's a little space of area there where they have, it's a baton passing area. And the third man handed that baton. The fourth man reached back and somebody made a mistake and the baton was dropped on the cinders. And I watched those two men back under that had run the race before. And those men put their heads in their hands. Hey, I wonder if Abraham's putting his head in his hands when he sees how you're running your race tonight. I wonder if Moses, who gave up the throne of Egypt, and who spent 40 years on the backside of a desert and 40 years leading a bunch of rebellious Jews in the wilderness, I wonder what he thinks when he looks down and sees what you're doing with your lap in the race that he's started. A baseball pitcher pitches, especially in the early part of the season, pitchers usually don't pitch 9 innings. I've seen this many times. I've seen a pitcher pitch a shutout for 7 innings. And then the relief pitcher comes in. Now that first pitcher cannot lose that game. He leaves, he's ahead. He can't lose that game, but it's possible for him not to win it. He cannot be the losing pitcher, but he's not necessarily the winning pitcher. It depends on that relief pitcher. Every baseball fan here or knowledgeable person about baseball knows that sometimes a relief pitcher comes in and he's not sharp, and the other team catches up and wins the game. And the winning pitcher cannot be the first pitcher the way he pitched a shutout, and he may have even pitched a no-hit game. But he sits on that bench, and he watches that relief pitcher pitch. You think he's not interested? Well, of course he's interested. His record depends on that. And by the way, his salary may depend on that also. And he sits there and watches that relief pitcher as he pitches and pulls for him. For he cannot be made perfect or complete without that relief pitcher. And the men of God of the Old Testament and all the saints that have gone before cannot be made complete without you and without me. Sort of like a tag team wrestling match. One wrestler reaches out, tags the other, he comes in. If he gets pinned, they lose. They both lose. And that's why God lists these great men of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And then he says down to the last verse, he said, these cannot be made perfect without us. They cannot be made perfect without us. And so these runners who have finished their lap are watching us. Who are these runners? Moses, who gave up the throne of Egypt, cannot be made perfect without us. He's run his lap, but his race continues. Back yonder 1,500 years before Jesus, 3,500 years ago, Moses ran his lap and ran it well and gave up the throne of Egypt and was persecuted and suffered like few men have ever suffered. And he finishes his lap and gives the baton to you and to me. And he says, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. I can't win the race without you. And you don't even come to church on Wednesday night. Little sick, pink tea and lemonade, rose water, ear tickling, back scratching kind of Christianity. Can you imagine how they weep in heaven? Who are these people who cannot be made complete? There's Abraham. Abraham took the baton. Abraham ran his lap. He left the Ur of the Chaldees to look for a city which had foundations, whose builder and ruler was God. He didn't know where it was. He just knew he was supposed to leave and go somewhere. Abraham, as he ran his lap, was told by God to take his son Isaac to Mount Moriah and there offer Isaac on an altar sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And as he runs his lap, he takes his son for 3 days and 3 nights to Mount Moriah and builds an altar there and puts the wood on the altar and places his own son Isaac on the altar and raises the knife to pierce the breast of his own son to offer him as a sacrifice. Man, what a lap he ran. Wow, what a course he ran. And he hands the baton to you, and you won't even go soul winning. You watch the television set more than you read the Bible. Abraham must sit in heaven tonight and cry as you drop the baton. Who's watching? Daniel? Daniel, who said, I'm not going to drink that wine. I'm a teetotaler. You away from home, son. I don't care where I am. I'm not going to drink it. But we made you go to a state university. I don't care if I'm in Dallas Seminary. I'm not going to drink the wine. As he ran his lap in the race, Daniel would not defile himself with the king's meat nor the king's wine or strong drink. Daniel, who prayed with his window open toward Jerusalem, was told that if he continued that prayer toward Jerusalem, he'd be put in the lion's den. As Daniel said, I'm not trying to be unkind, and I'm not going to start anything I didn't do, but I'm not going to stop anything I did do either. He kept on praying. They put Daniel in the den of lions as he ran his lap. Daniel finished his lap after having suffered and been in the lion's den. Daniel handed the baton to you, and you won't even tithe. To you, he hands the baton, and you won't even say no to liquor at the company picnic. Or you'll sit there around a drinking party at Christmas time when your relatives are having a liquor party. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. It's time God's people realize that we stand on the blood of the martyrs. And it's time we took that baton and ran our race. So we can make them complete. Who are these men? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image in the plains of Dura. He said everybody's got to bow down and worship this false god. These three Howells Anderson College graduates said we ain't going to do it. They said, okay, we'll turn the thermostat up 7 times hotter. And these fellows said, let it be known, King. Hey, they're talking to the King. They're talking to Mr. Clinton. They're talking to the top dog. And I mean to use that word very carefully. They said, be it known unto you, your majesty. Our God will deliver us. But if not, if we burn to a crisp, we're not going to do what's wrong. And they took their lap and they ran it. And they went to the fire furnace, and they didn't go to the fire furnace thinking they'd see the Son of God either. They went to the fire furnace with a full awareness that they might burn to death. And they ran their lap and they came back and handed us the baton. This mealy mouth. You know what would do us good? It'd do us good to suffer for Jesus. By the way, it just may be you'll have to. Who are these men? John the Baptist pointed his finger to Bill Clinton in his day and said, you should have gone to the army. Said, you ought not to let those queers be in the armed forces. John the Baptist, who the king's wife said, I don't like him. From that day to this, most ladies haven't liked fundamental preachers. The husbands don't, unless their wives will let them. John the Baptist said, it's wrong. It's wrong. And his head was chopped off as he ran his lap in the race. And he who had taken the baton from one who had offered his son on Mount Moriah, and he who had taken the baton from Moses who turned down the throne of Egypt, he who had taken the baton from Daniel who had gone to the lion's den, he who had taken the baton from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and now he takes the baton, John the Baptist takes the baton, and he has his head chopped off and gives it to you. You want him to stay awake through a sermon. Or you'll walk out during the invitation. Don't you think John the Baptist is proud of you? When during invitation time you stream down those stairs there like a bunch of backsliders that you are. That kind of Christianity is not going to win the race for those who've gone before. Who are these people? Apostle Paul, imprisoned, beheaded by the sword of the guillotine. Who are these people? Peter, crucified upside down. Who are these people? Stephen, a deacon stoned to death. Boy, I bet he's proud of these deacons trying to tell all preachers across America how to preach. I bet he's proud of these church-splitting deacons. I bet he's proud of them. Boy, give me some deacons that'll stand up and preach and, if needs be, die for the cause of Christ. Who are these men? The early Christians who were fed to the lions. Who are these early runners? John exiled on Patmos. Who are these who've run before us in the same race that we're now running? Who are these who ran laps before us? John Huss, Latimer, and Ridley, who were burned at the stake. They said the fires that you use to burn our bodies will light a fire that'll spread around the world. Who were these people who, watching us as we run? David Livingston, in diseased body, explored Africa and gave it the gospel. Who are these people looking at our race, looking at our lap in the race, cheering for us to run the race so they can receive the crown? Who are they? Adoniram Judson and Ann Judson, who went to Burma, placed a little child in Burmese soil, and shortly thereafter placed a second child in Burmese soil. And later Adoniram Judson placed Ann Judson, his dear wife, in Burmese soil. and he hands the race to you, and you watch the soap operas. You think I'm upset with you? You think how they must feel?
I mean, their gold medal is in your hands. Their gold medal is in your little automatic television doojigger.
What do you call it? Remote control. Thank you, soap opera watchers.
Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while these others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? No! I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain supported by thy word. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And they will too. For they cannot be made perfect unless we take the baton of the race that they started and run our course in our lap properly. Who are these people? David Brainerd's died before his 30th birthday because of getting out the gospel and because of consumption. Who are these people? John Bunyan stayed in a rat-infested prison, Bedford Prison, for 12 years because he wouldn't quit preaching on the streets. Who are these people? Those who suffered death in the early 10 persecutions of the church. Who are these people? Those that were boiled in hot oil because of the gospel of Christ. Who are these people? Those who were drug on cobblestone streets by their feet, well, only their heads on the streets, until their brains were bouncing out of their heads as they were drugged down the streets. And some of you little puny, pusillanimous, rock music people, don't you think they're proud of you? They who were drugged down cobblestone streets till their brains were out, and you have the baton and run the race, and you go to some dirty rock concert. What kind of Christianity is that? They're waiting on you to be made perfect, complete their race, and there you are sitting at a dirty rock concert with some pagan people gyrating like a bunch of animals. Who are these people? People forced to walk on coals of fire, martyred and buried on foreign soil. You go to Rome sometime, don't you miss going to those catacombs. Twice I've walked under the city of Rome and seen those catacombs where Christian people had to flee and where they lived underground in caves and catacombs because they would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Compare that to you, McSwimmer. Compare that to you, cocktail sipper. You listen to me. You hear me well tonight. Call me what you want to call me. God's people have never been popular. Now, we're not unpopular because we choose to be unpopular. We're unpopular because we choose to live with that book right there. Who are these people? Baptists drowned in this country for baptizing by immersion. Not to mention more recent runners, which such as Moody, Sunday, Roloff, Rice, J. Frank Norris, Jonathan Edwards, Charles G. Finney, Bob Jones Sr., and my mama and yours. And there they watch. The baton is in our hands. What kind of race are you running? Don't misunderstand me. They will not be punished because you do not run your lap. But as far as the race is concerned, it's a race that started at creation and ends at rapture. And you're running the same race that they... You said it doesn't seem right. I thought it seems right. Not I'm telling you what it says in the Bible. So they without us cannot be made perfect. So they, without us, cannot be made complete. Without us doing what? Running our race. So how are we supposed to run the race? Lay aside your sins.
I was supposed to run the race. Lay aside your weights. What's wrong with that? There are a heap of things there's nothing wrong with you're not supposed to do. See them as their heads bow. As they watch what we call Christian TV. See them weep as we have a Bible of the Month club. And a bunch of pagan. You know, Brother Reiner said this morning, talked about he believes the cover of the Bible, Holy Bible. Well, now all these Bibles can't have that same cover. Because they differ. And the word holy means sanctified Bible. It means every word is sanctified, which means figure out which one is holy and put that, and on the others write unholy. Sick and tired of picking up a book somewhere, and it has a scripture in it down, and it says RSV or ASV or Moffat's translation or Colston's translation. See how their heads bow and they sigh as they watch us staring at Hollywood, bunch of whores and harlots and queers. See them as they cry, as they see us sitting at home on Wednesday night. Rather watch a basketball game than hear the Word of God taught. See them as they bow, as they see who is finishing their race. Feel their hurt as we watch our blockbuster videos. See them as they ache as we never win a soul to Christ. Hey, says Moses, as you watch your video movie. Hey, that's my race you're blotching. That's my gold medal you're messing with. See Abraham as he sees you young people. Well, there's nothing wrong with rock music. In the first place, you're lying through your teeth. If you know any, if you've got 1 ounce of decency, you know what's wrong with rock music. They see young people acting like the world does. By the way, let me just go a step further. It's time you took the picture of that notorious gander named Michael Jordan off the wall of your room. I was on the airplane the other day. A couple months ago. Boy, they said, the fellow was saying, Jordan is coming. Jordan's coming back. Jordan's coming back. And the fellow said to the guy beside him, could you read this? Jordan's coming back. And they passed that newspaper around. Jordan's coming back. And I said, hey, look at this. Jesus is coming back. And ask a question. How do they feel about your race? How do they feel about your lap tonight? There they are. Not a single thing they can do about it. They cannot build a bus route. They cannot win a soul. They cannot feed a hungry body or clothe a cold one. They're helpless. Like the man who starts the first leg of the relay and ends up way in front and watches the third fella reach for the baton and they watch it fall. And those runners back there cannot be made complete unless the race is finished by those who run the laps that follow them. What kind of lap are you running? What kind of lap are you running? They, without us, cannot be made perfect or complete. What? Wow. What an awesome truth. There they are. Abraham is watching me preach tonight. Boy, I bet he's saying, let it rip, Jack. Let it rip. Moses is saying, boy, oh boy, he's taking up for us tonight. Abe. Abe says, that's right, Mose. What kind of lap are you running? They're watching. They're watching. Gently watching.
They're watching my lap. They're watching me live. Watching me serve. They finished their course, not the race, the course. And now I carry the baton. And they, like the runners in the first laps, cheer me on. Grieve when I fail. And praise, shout when I succeed. For the hopes of the gold medal depends upon those who run the laps that follow. What kind of lap are you running? Our Heavenly Father,